the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. For as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. For I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. This is the word of the Lord. So let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this morning, and we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful that you speak to us, that you remind us of who you are, you remind us of what you have done for us in Christ. And I pray this morning that the words I say would be your words. I pray that any newness or difference in how sermons are spoken or said or whatever happens, that that would not distract from us hearing you. And I pray that we would hear you speak. I thank you and I praise you for how you have been preparing our hearts and our minds throughout this week to hear from you. And I pray that you would remove any of the obstacles which might hinder our ability to hear your voice. We love you, Lord. Amen. So as we said before, we read through 2 John. This is written by John the Apostle to, as it says, the chosen lady and her children. And we'll briefly go over the overview of this book, and then we'll look at a few of the things that we can pull from it and say, how does this apply to my life? The thing that I want to show you this morning from 2 John is the importance of having the truth abide in us and how having that truth abide in us impacts how we live and how we treat those around us. And so one of the things that you may have noticed as we read through this is that John really emphasizes the idea of truth over and over and over again through this letter. If you're familiar with ancient letters at all, you'll know that there is a traditional way they start a letter, that you have the sender, the recipient, and then a greeting. And so the way this letter should have been written was to say, the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, grace and peace to you. But John interrupts that with an interesting section beginning in halfway through verse 1. He says, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. So he's already beginning to tell us, this is going to be something I'm emphasizing. Whom I love in truth, and not only, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. And so John is already focusing her attention on the idea of the truth, saying, I love you in this truth. It will be our truth forever. Now she knows what the truth is. We know what the truth is. He'll tell us what the truth is a bit later, but he's already making her focus on, here's the truth. This is important. I'm doing these things because of the truth that is in us. And so he greets her. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, which is an interesting thing that we'll get to a little later in this. He says he will be with us in truth and also love the 2 points that John will make in the rest of this letter. And he begins by saying, I rejoice that I have great joy over the fact that some of your children are walking in the truth. Now, whether these are members of the church, whether these are her actual children, he says, this brings me great joy to see that not only do they know the truth, but it's impacting how they walk, it's impacting how they live their lives, and how they treat those around them. And he says, turning to her, I'm going to remind you as well to walk in the truth. This is not a new commandment. This is not something that you are unfamiliar with, but you know this commandment, that we love one another, as it says in verse 5. And we see this is a commandment that John writes about several times. That in 1 John, I need to find it. I should have written it down. Well, it's in there, trust me. But in 1 John, he says, we know that the Father has sent the Son, that he loves us, and that he commands us to love one another. It's in 1 John 4, if you get bored. So he turns to her and he says, let me remind you, let me encourage you, using the example of your children who are walking in the truth, may you also continue to love one another. May you continue to follow the commands that God has given us. Well, why? Is it because the woman is, or the chosen lady is stopping doing this? Has she ceased to love people? Has she ceased to live in the truth? No, the reason he tells us in verse 7 is that many deceivers have gone out among them. These deceivers are most likely the Gnostic believers. Gnostic believers were a group of Christians who believed several interesting things. One of them being that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh, but he just came in the spirit. And so that's why we get here that he says some of these people do not acknowledge that Christ came in the flesh. So that's how we know that it's most likely the Gnostic believers. And we see here John acknowledging both in this verse, Jesus came in the flesh, and also earlier, as we said, that he is the Father's Son. So we get the full divinity and full humanity of Christ in this letter. The Gnostics also believed that there were those who had secret knowledge, that there were tiers of believers, those who had the secret knowledge, who truly knew the things of God, and then the rest who were just kind of stumbling around in the darkness. They believed that the physical was bad and the spiritual was good, so you didn't need to think about anything that was physical. You just needed to have your mind on heavenly things. That you could neglect the people around you, the earth around you, because that was bad. That didn't really need to be shown love. And so John tells the lady in this letter and says, no, you need to continue to love one another. Why? Because there are people out there who are deceivers and liars, and they are saying things that are not true about who our God is, that you need to know the truth. And he emphasizes, you need to know the truth, that Christ came in the flesh. He says, don't have anything to do with any of these teachings. Know that they are false and flee from them, run from them. Do not show that you approve of their teaching by inviting them into your house. And then he finishes his letter by saying, I have much to write to you, but I would rather write to you in person. I would rather see you face to face, something that we all this past year have learned the joy of being able to do. Then he closes his letter with his closing blessing. And so we see in 2 John that this emphasis on truth, and specifically this emphasis that Christ came in the flesh, that we see that there's a difference about knowing something and about just knowing about something. That John tells the woman, because Christ came in the flesh, because you know that, because that is a truth that impacts your life, you should live in a way that leads you to love those around you. And it's not just that you know trivia facts about Jesus. It's not that you went to Sunday school and cadets and gems and youth group, you did your time in church, but now that you're going out into normal life, that you can forget all that. You just need to know the trivia facts to answer the questions on the quiz to get into heaven. But John says, no, you need to live your life in a manner that shows you know this truth. But yesterday, as we were traveling around and exploring this beautiful area, we passed by a ice cream shop, or a creamy shop, or whatever you call it, goodies. And I was told by my tour guides, and I will not tell you who they were in case you disagree with them, that goodies makes the best creamies, or whatever you say. I'm going to say ice cream, because it just feels weird to me right now to say creamies. One of those weird... I don't know. And we drove past, and they said, this is the best place to get soft-serve ice cream. People drive for miles to get it. And I have a confession to make. I completely forgot that it was named Goodies. I completely forgot what it was called. And so as I was thinking about this last night, I had to pull out my phone, and I found the bridge, and then I zoomed in on Google Maps, and I just followed the road. And then we got to a place where the sign said, it said Goodies, and I thought, well, that sounds maybe familiar, and I clicked on it, and I had to flip through some of the pictures, and then I noticed that it was indeed the same building that I had seen earlier. Now, I can tell you a lot about Goodies. I can tell you what it looks like. I can tell you about the rocks that are painted in front of it. I even saw pictures of ice cream, or creamies, whatever they're called, that I can tell you all about these things, and I can say, this is what it looks like. I know about it. I know trivia facts about it. But my assumption is that when it gets to a hot summer day, and you decide that you want to go get some ice cream, that you don't just pull out your phone, pull up Goodies, look at a picture and go, yes, that hits the spot. That is exactly what I needed right there. This beautiful picture of, I think it was like a green, so I don't know if they do like mint chocolate chip ice cream, but it was a green ice cream in a bowl. Maybe it's the wrong thing. I don't know. But that's not the same as holding the ice cream in your hand and licking it and tasting how cold it is and feeling that refreshment that ice cream provides on a hot day. That there's this difference. Then my assumption is that most of you, I would assume all of you, but you know, there's one in every crowd, I guess, that if you were holding your ice cream cone on that warm day and you were enjoying it and somebody walked up to you with a phone and said, do you want to switch? I'll give you this and I'll take your ice cream and you can have my phone and look at a picture of the ice cream cone. My assumption is that you would say, no, I'm quite enjoying my ice cream cone. Please leave. You might use more colorful language, you might use less words or more words, but my assumption is that you would say, no, the act of knowing this ice cream cone in this moment, that's really good. The act of holding a phone in this moment, I mean, that's beneficial in a way, I guess, but that's not the same. And so the Apostle John right now is saying, do you know who Christ is, or do you just know about who Christ is? That if you know who Christ is, just like the ice cream cone that you are holding in your hand, that that would then lead to you living a life that shows that you know this, that it would impact your life, that it would be meaningful, that it would cause you to love other people because you look at the love God has for you and you would say, I have to show that to other people. But if you just look at who Christ is and you say, I know about Christ, I can answer a few of the trivia questions I learned in Sunday school. He was born on Christmas, which we could have a discussion about. He was born in a manger. We can also have a discussion about that one. Three wise men, another discussion. We should get off of Christmas now. He healed people. He died on the cross. He had Mary and Joseph as his parents. He had 12 disciples. Maybe you can even name all 12 of the disciples. That you can have all these trivia facts and all these things that you know about Christ, but if he just stays there, well, then it's pointless, just like trying to lick a phone on a hot summer day. And so, thank you, the one person who was like, that is ridiculous. And so when we think about this, we can say it's ridiculous to want to lick a phone, but how much more ridiculous is it to not say, okay, well, Christ came in the flesh, and so I'm going to live my life as if he really came. One of the book that we've been going through in Alamosa is Hebrews. And one of the things that the author of Hebrews emphasizes over and over again is how great it is that Christ came, and he came in the flesh. We read, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. But we have one who was tempted in every way and is able to sympathize with us. That maybe this past week, maybe this past month or year that you've had moments where you're hungry. Well, we know Jesus was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe you've had moments where you're thirsty. We hear, "I thirst," when he's on the cross. Maybe you've had friends and family who think you are just the most bizarre person on the face of the earth. Well, Jesus' father, mother and brothers came to him one time and said, "Jesus, come home. We think you're crazy." Maybe you've had a loved one get sick and die. We see Jesus at Lazarus' tomb weeping for his friend. Maybe you've been betrayed by a friend. And maybe people have said things about you that have hurt, that have left their marks and their scars on you, and we know Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Maybe you know pain. Maybe you know suffering. Well, we just look to the cross. We know that Christ was there on the cross. We can look at the scars on his back or his hands or his side. That he came in the flesh. He knows exactly what it means to be human. He knows exactly what you are going through. He knows all of the burdens that you are carrying with you. He came in the flesh. He didn't avoid this. He didn't say, "Well, I'm the creator of the universe. I'm the one who made everything. I'm the one who angels adore. So I'm going to take the easy road." No, he went the road that means when you cry out to him, he knows what you're going through. And that John reminds the chosen lady of this, and he says, "Don't listen to those people who are saying he didn't come in the flesh. This is incredibly important. Because when you know that your God loved you enough to come in the flesh and to experience all that it means to be human, to experience the ups and downs of life, well then, you want to show that same love to those around you. To say, I am so amazed at the love that God has shown me. I am so amazed that he has done these things for me." Now that's why we see in the very beginning of this letter, we see in verse 4 that John says, "It brought me great joy. I rejoiced to see that your children are walking in this way." They're walking in the truth that God came in the flesh. God incarnate, Jesus, came in the flesh, and they are then loving one another. They are passing this on. They are reminding each other as they go through those valleys, as they go through moments where life is difficult, that they come alongside each other and they say, "Christ came for this. Turn to him. Remember how much he loves you. Remember how great he is." And so the question that we have to wrestle with this morning is, do we do that? How well do we do in reminding each other of who Christ is? How well do we do in rejoicing when we see somebody living in a way that reminds us of how great Christ is? Do we get excited? Do we celebrate? Does it encourage us to turn to our Bibles, to pray more, to show that love to Christ or to those around us? Is it contagious, or are we looking for something that we can quickly hop on social media or pick up our phone and say, "Did you see what so-and-so was doing? I heard they were doing this." Do we celebrate with them, or do we point out their flaws and their failures and their weaknesses? Do we rejoice? The second thing that this short book warns us about is, do we watch out for those who are false teachers, who are deceivers? That just like that person who would walk up to you and say, "Well, look at the picture of the ice cream cone on my phone. It's just as good as the one in your hand." And you would say, "I don't think so." That do we look at those who offer us a Jesus who does not look like the one in Scripture? And do we look at them and say, "No, I don't think so. That's not the God who came in flesh to be with me. That's not the God who sympathizes with me. That's not the God who encourages and challenges and strengthens me to love those around me." And so as you head out into this week, as you think about what this week will look like for you, maybe the first thing that you have to worry about is you're saying, "Wait a minute, he talked about knowing Jesus, and I know I sang Jesus loves me when I was in Sunday school a long time ago, but this whole idea of Jesus being with me when I'm suffering and when life is difficult, I have no idea what that's like." It's just a trivia thing. This is a song that all kids know. Then maybe you have to spend time this week saying, I'm going to get to know Jesus. I'm going to get to know the real Jesus. Just like, because it was closed, I have no idea what Goody's ice cream tastes like. I can look at the reviews and see, you know, 5-star reviews that say, delicious, best ice cream I've ever had. That doesn't change the fact that I have never tasted it. I haven't experienced it. And so maybe this week, you sit down and pray, God, help me to experience your love. It's been a long time since we've talked. It's been a long time since I've read my Bible outside of Sunday morning. May this be a week that I get to know you well. And maybe you pray that God would provide somebody, just like John came alongside the chosen lady. Maybe you say, God, help. There's a lot of confusing things in the Bible. I'm not really good at getting past Leviticus. Can you provide somebody in my life that can help me? Maybe you're on the other side and you're one of the people who you know who Jesus is and you've experienced his love and you can point to moments in your life and you can say, this is when God was with me. Maybe your prayer is, God, help me know who I should pass this on to. Who can I share this with? Not in a manner that demeans them, but in a manner that encourages them, that shows how great you are. So that's the first thing. The second thing would be, find somebody that you can rejoice over. Find something. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's a family friend. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's a classmate or somebody you work with. Find something that you could rejoice over, and then be sure to tell them that that encourages you. Say, I just want you to know that I am so thankful that you read your Bible like this faithfully, because it encourages me to read my Bible. Thank you for how you pray, that when you pray, I feel like you are talking with God, and he is right there, and I know you love him. Now, what are we doing to encourage and to rejoice? Not only in the fact that God loved us enough to send his son to die for our sins and take the wrath we deserved, but that we have people around us who are showing us this love and reflecting it back to us. So let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this morning. And 2 John is one of these short letters that we probably skip over several times as we flip through our Bibles. And just like it's a short letter that we can skip over, it's so easy to skip over your call to love one another, to reflect your love to those around us. But it sounds really good. And it sounds really easy sitting in the pews. But then Monday morning comes and we have to see that classmate. We have to see that coworker. We have to deal with the challenges and stresses of life. And loving those around us can become the farthest thing. We sang earlier, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. How often is that the farthest thing from our minds when somebody begins to irritate us? How often does the temptation rise to point out their flaws and failures? And so I pray that your Spirit would move and work in us this week, that you would give us the strength we need to not only show your love to those around us, but to not say those words that come so quickly, to not do those actions that seem second nature. And may we be a people who reflects your love to those around us. That may you remind us in a new way how great you are. May you remind us of the depth of your love for us. May you remind us of how great Christ is. And may your Holy Spirit strengthen us. Give us the words to say, give us the actions to do so that we can show your love to those around us. We love you, Lord. Amen.